Also.
Ah, thank you. Very harsh. Your word was what? Hiranyi punsastha vasastha sava. Hiranyi punsastha vasastha sava. Vishtastha suttastha chavudhya dhattva. Avichito artha kavihi nirupita.
Idam hikunta sabata sutatya va sikasa sutatya saburi datayo avichuto rasa kavijira nirupito yarusama shloka gunanubhavana. Translation. Learned circles have positively concluded that the infallible purpose of the advancement of knowledge, namely austerity, study of the Vedas, sacrifice, chanting of hymns, and charity, culminates in the transcendental descriptions of the Lord, who is defined in choice poetry.
But
human intellect is developed for advancement in learning, in art, science, philosophy, physics, chemistry, psychology, economics, politics, etc. By culture of such knowledge, the human society can attain perfection of life. This perfection of life culminates in the realization of the Supreme Being, Vishnu. The Shruti therefore directs that those who are actually advanced in learning should aspire to the service of God Vishnu. Unfortunately, persons who are enamored by the external beauty of Vishnu Maya do not understand that culmination of perfection or self-realization depends on Vishnu. Vishnu Maya means sense enjoyment, which is transient and miserable. Those who are entrapped by the Vishnu Maya utilize advancement of knowledge for sense enjoyment. Sri Narada Muni has explained that all paraphernalia of the cosmic universe is but an emanation from the Lord out of his different energies. Because the Lord has set in motion by his inconceivable energy actions and reactions of the created manifestation. They have come to be out of his energy, they rest on his energy, and after annihilation, they merge into him. Nothing is, therefore, different from him, but at the same time, the Lord is always different from them. When advancement of knowledge is applied in the service of the Lord, the whole process becomes absolute. The personality of Godhead, his transcendental name, fame, glory, etc., are all non-different from him. Therefore, all the sages and devotees of the Lord have recommended that the subject matter of art, science, philosophy, physics, chemistry, psychology, and all other branches of knowledge should be wholly and solely applied in the service of the Lord. Art, literature, poetry, painting, etc. may be used in glorifying the Lord. The fiction writers, poets, and celebrated literateurs are generally engaged in writing of sensuous prophets. But if they turn towards the service of the Lord, they can describe the transcendental pastimes of the Lord. Valmiki was a great poet, and similarly Vasudeva is a great writer, and both of them have absolutely engaged themselves in delineating the transcendental activities of the Lord, and by doing so, they have become immortal. Similarly, science and philosophy also should be applied in the service of the Lord. There is no use presenting God's speculative theory for sense gratification. Philosophy and science should be engaged to establish the glory of the Lord. Advanced people are eager to understand the absolute truth through the medium of science. And therefore, a great scientist should endeavor to prove the existence of the Lord on a scientific basis. Similarly, philosophical speculation should be utilized to establish the supreme truth as sentient and all-powerful. And all our branches of knowledge should always be engaged in the service of the Lord. In the Bhagavad Gita, also the same is affirmed. All so-called knowledge not engaged in the service of the Lord is but essence. Real utilization of advanced knowledge is to establish the glories of the Lord, and that is the real import. Scientific knowledge engaged in the service of the Lord and all other similar activities are all factually parikirtan, or glorification of the Lord.
This is our process of Krishna consciousness. Everything engaged in glorifying the Supreme Lord. So you have learned scientists, our request is that you also, by your sensory research, glorify the Supreme. That is perfect.
It seems to me that as scientists, not only us, we have made a great deal of contribution to the creature comforts of the people of the world, but we don't seem to have got their life qualities as good as it should be. I wonder if you might comment on what sort of things we should do to improve them.
Excuse me, do you mind if I record this?
Can you record it?
Oh, yes. You can read this second chapter. Considering the existence of the Supreme Scientist, Lord Sri Krishna. Read it.
When we think calmly and carefully about this wonderful universe, we can see that everything is working under the control of the Supreme Brain. The arrangements in nature are perfectly ordered. Things would be abandoned without the careful planning of a scientific and engineering brain. It is a common understanding that there is a cause behind each action. A machine cannot run without an operator. Modern scientists are very proud of automation, but there is a scientific brain behind automation also. Even Albert Einstein agreed that there is a perfect brain behind all the natural physical laws. When we talk about brain and operator, these terms imply a person. They cannot be impersonal. One may inquire who this person is. He is Lord Sri Krishna, the supreme scientist and supreme engineer, under whose kind will the whole cosmos is working. Sri Krishna said, "The whole cosmic order is under me. By my will it is manifested again and again. By my will it is annihilated at the end." Now let us look at a few samples from the Lord's creation, and upon contemplating these exemplary aspects, one should develop a better understanding and appreciation of the existence of the most powerful brain, Lord Sri Krishna. The sun that we see daily is the nearest star. It is 100 Earth diameters across and is 93 million miles away from the Earth. Every day, the sun supplies the solar system with a tremendous amount of heat, light, and energy. Quote, "The very tiny fraction of the sun's energy that falls on the earth, estimated at about 5 parts in 100 million million, is about 100,000 times greater than all the energy used in the world industries. The total energy the sun emits in a single second would be sufficient to keep a 1 kilowatt electric fire burning for 10,000 million million years. Put in a different way, the energy the sun emits in 1 second is greater than the whole amount of energy the human species has consumed throughout its entire history. Unquote. Fred Hoyle, astronomer. Yet it is only one of the countless number of stars floating in the sky in every direction. With the material scientific brain, the thermal, electrical, and nuclear powerhouses have been made. These can supply heat, light, and energy to a small, limited extent, but those fission is supplying the whole planet with an unlimited source of energy just from one sun. And Krishna says, the splendor of the sun, which dissipates the darkness of the whole world, comes from me. And the splendor of the moon and the splendor of fire are also from me. The planets are evolving in a systematic path around the sun. Even within the smallest atom, the electrons and the protons are orbiting around the nucleus in a perfect manner. Thus, from the sub-microscopic realm of the atom to the expanding reaches of the galactic object, this material universe is running like intricate, well-oiled clockwork according to great natural physical laws and principles. Scientists have gained great acclaim for making a few spaceships, whereas Krishna effortlessly produces gigantic spaceships such as planets and stars, which are perfectly equipped and maintained. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna said, Dham avishvicha bhutani adharani aham odhaka. I enter into each planet, and by my energy, they stay in orbit. The laws made by the Supreme Brain always remain perfect. They are never violated. We never see the sun rising in the west and setting in the east. The colorful rainbow that we observe when the sun is shining during a shower is only visible when the sun is behind the observer due to the laws of refraction. Also, each year's seasons change quite periodically, producing symptoms unique to each season. Now let's look into some aspects of the Lord's creation at the molecular level. Chemists find that the different colors in flowers are due to chemicals called anthocyanin, and the different aromas are mostly due to chemicals called terpenes and terpenoid compounds. The molecular framework for these compounds range from very simple structures to very complex networks. Camphor, for example, is a terpenoid compound, and the characteristic odor of lemon is due to the molecule called limonene, which is one of the simple terpenes. Similarly, the characteristic colors of carrots and tomatoes are due to molecules called carotenoids, which are higher forms of terpenes. The molecular framework for each definite color or aroma is wonderfully unique. A little change in position of a few atoms in the molecule, a little variation in the geometry of the molecule, or a slight change in the size of the molecule can cause the color to change from orange to red, a mild pleasing aroma to become repellent and pungent, and a flavor to change from sweet to bitter. On one extreme, we find the smallest molecule, the hydrogen molecule, which contains only two atoms of hydrogen. On the other extreme, we find giant molecules, such as the protein and nucleic acids, DNA and RNA, the building blocks of all living material bodies, which contain innumerable atoms made for a definite function. Similarly, the crystalline pattern of each different molecule is unique. The geometrical shape for sodium chloride, common salt, for example, is cubical. Charcoal, graphite, and diamonds are all derived from the same element, carbon. And yet, the shiny and transparent diamond is extremely hard, whereas graphite is soft, black, and opaque. This is due to the difference in the crystalline forms of these molecules. In the crystal lattice of the diamond, each carbon atom is tetrahedrally surrounded by four other carbon atoms at a distance of 1.54 angstroms. One angstrom equals 10 minus 8 squared cm. In graphite, by contrast, the three bonds of each carbon atom are distorted so as to lie in the same plane, the fourth bond being directed perpendicularly to this plane to link with the carbon atom of the neighboring layer. In this way, we can cite innumerable examples of molecular networks so fantastically and delicately arranged that the chemist cannot but wonder about the most expert hand and brain who is making all these wonderfully artistic arrangements in his laboratory. Indeed, the intelligence and ability of the supreme scientist, Sri Krishna, are inconceivable, Achintya. There is no sign of Sukhaniyaya. How then can any chemist abstain from appreciating the wonderful works of the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna? In Bhagavad Gita Nirvana, one should meditate upon the Supreme Person as the one who knows everything, as he who is the oldest, who is the controller, who is smaller than the smallest, who is the maintainer of everything, who is beyond all material conception, who is inconceivable and who is always the person. He is luminous like the sun, and being transcendental is beyond his material nature. At best, scientists can only try to imitate the wonderful artistic works of the Supreme Lord. They cannot even do this properly, and most of their attempts lead to failure and disappointment. Even when they are partly successful, it is only with the greatest difficulty. For example, Professor R.D. Woodward of Harvard, a Nobel Prize winner in chemistry, 1965, and Professor A. Eschenholzer of Zurich, took 11 years to synthesize the vitamin B12 molecule. Altogether, 99 scientists from 19 different countries were involved just to accomplish this one small task. Yet Krishna is making all these complex molecules at will. Interestingly enough, when scientists fail again and again in their attempts to make something, they consciously or unconsciously pray to God for help. Does this not indicate the existence of the Supreme Scientist, Lord Sri Krishna, and the natural, subordinate position of all other living entities? A crude example is the explosion that occurred inside the Apollo 13 spacecraft during its attempts to land on the moon on April 11, 1970. The Apollo capsule was made by hundreds of scientific and technological brains and cost millions of dollars. No one could predict that there would be an explosion. When it happened, however, and the lives of the three astronauts were in danger, those involved in the mission requested all the people on Earth to pray to God for the safe return of the astronauts. Such is the situation. At times of danger, people tend to remember God, although at other times they forget Him. Now let's look into some very simple and graphic examples of the artistry of the Lord's creation. We see that among the lower forms of living entities, social organization is very smoothly maintained. For example, in a bee colony, the queen bee is nicely taken care of by the drones, male bees, while the workers collect nectar from flowers all day long. It is quite amazing to consider how the bees, with their tiny bodies, can collect such a great amount of honey for themselves as well as for other living entities. In this way, the colony is maintaining beautiful order. Similarly, the loving relationship between the mother and her baby is quite clearly visible even in very small forms of living entities. During the monsoon season in tropical countries, when there are torrents of rain, the small ants run to find shelter, carrying their eggs on their heads. The spider makes its wonderful webs with great architectural skill to serve as a shelter as well as to catch its prey for survival. Silkworms spin hundreds of yards of fine threads to form cocoons for their shelter during that pupa stage. Inside tiny seeds, smaller than the size of a mustard seed, the whole potency of a big banyan tree is present. In this way, we can see the wonderful arrangements of the Supreme Lord, who is creating, maintaining, and guiding all of the entities, small or big. Krishna says, "Furthermore, O Arjuna, I am the generating seed of all existences. There is no being, moving or unmoving, that can exist without me."
So our request is that everyone is that. So establish the authority of the Supreme. This is our Krishna consciousness.
Who was the author of that reading, you said?
This book? This is one of my students. He is also a scientist. You can read.
About the author. Swarupa Dhammadwara Brahmachari was born in a Vaishnava devoted family in Manipur, India on February 25th, 1941. His father, Gajendra Singh, died in his mere child. 1961, he earned his BS degree with highest honors in chemistry from Dalhousie University, and he earned his master's degree in chemical engineering and chemical technology with similar honors from Calcutta University in 1964. He was a recipient of a research fellowship from the University Grant Commission. Allured by material advancement, he came to the United States of America and joined the Department of Chemistry Buffalo, New York in 1967, and obtained an MS degree in chemistry in 1969. Then he joined the Department of Chemistry, University of California, Irvine, where he is finishing his PhD in physical organic chemistry.
He's one of the spiritual master's disciples.
Mm-hmm.
And he's written this book, this small chapter here, from his scientific background. He's still working with the philosophers, he's teaching it.
Do you have any formal training arrangements that belong to your own particular religion? Do you run colleges?
No, not per se. We have our training centers where the students are trained in reading Sanskrit and studying the. Most of our education is centered around the ancient scriptures from the East. This is what our spiritual master dedicates his life to. Translating these Sanskrit books. He's translated about 20 of them already. And so our centers are working in that fashion. We have a school for children where they are trained up from the time they are 5 years old. This is in America.
Can you give us an indication where the centers are? Or the sound of the light?
Centers are all over the world. We have centers in America and
yeah, what two centers in America?
40.
Or 40. 40.
Your knowledge of Sanskrit, this is one of your basic interests.
No, not Sanskrit, but knowledge you have received by disciplic succession from my Guru Maharaj, from my spiritual Sanskrit is the language, but mostly we derive knowledge from Vedic revealed scriptures, and this is also one of them, Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the rightful fruit of Vedic knowledge.
And you're interpreting this in terms of modern-day living to a large extent in some of your writings, or some of your disciples' writings, as is this book.
Could I borrow this for a moment? Thanks.
Oh, I'll get that, yeah.
We were very interested in your comments on the dairy industry, particular, Dr. Harrop is in charge of the dairy research. How do you relate your strong interest in dairy products to modern thinking on cholesterol and similar problems? It doesn't disturb you.
There are modern theories that milk is actually harmful.
Or the batter.
Milk batter. Milk is harmful. How is it harmful? If it is harmful, why you are giving milk to the child?
There is a certain difference here in that milk that we get from cows has a very low proportion of what we call polyunsaturated fatty acids, only about 2%, whereas in human milk, this is about 10 or 12%, it's a much higher level. So the milk from cows, which are ruminants, is quite a lot different to the cow from the milk that we get from the non-ruminants, and of course humans are non-ruminants.
But I think there is a book, Miracles of Milk, written by one American gentleman. he has greatly valued the milk and milk product. Similarly, we, in Indians, we give very, very importance to milk and milk products.
I think this is so, and always been so here, but in recent years there has been shown to be a relationship between the cholesterol level in the blood and the ratio between the saturated and polyunsaturated fat in the diet. The lower the level of polyunsaturated fat, the higher the level of cholesterol in the blood. And this has been associated with heart disease. So there is quite a move to, among many of the medical profession, to prescribe diets which are lower in saturated fat. And we're doing some quite interesting work at the Dairy Research Laboratory aimed at making ruminant milk, cow's milk, much more like human milk in this way,
yes,
by special feeding techniques.
It means cow's milk. Milk means cow's milk, because he will find in this book that Krishi Gorasa, go means cow. Cow protection, cow's milk is important, not other animals' milk.
That's what that human milk.
Human milk is natural.
Yes, but then that's very different to cow's milk.
That he's created in suffering from cholesterol. Cholesterol is no problem for you.
But we've had very close connections with India in the Dairy Research Laboratory, and that Dr. Chilwack, one of our staff members some years ago spent several months in India developing methods of making cheese from
nothing. Position is different now. India has practically no milk.
Yes.
No food. Due to our leaders' mismanagement, there is no milk. Yes. India is depending on pure milk powder sent by Australia or by Europe. There is no milk. But milk is very important because Krishna said that Krishi Gorakha Manijam Vaishyaparma Sabhavam. Find out that verse. You do not have that Krishna book.
Krishi Gorasya Vanijam Vaishyakarma Svabhavajam Vanicharya Makam Karma Sudratyapi Svabhavajam. Translation. Farming, cattle raising, and business are the qualities of work for the Vaishyas, and for the Sudras there is labor and service to others.
Krishna, we are following the leadership of Krishna. Krishna was so fond of cows, cow's milk, cow's butter, that he was stealing cow's butter. Yeah. Find out the picture.
Brian, just see this the proportion between polyunsaturated and
the ratio between the ones.
I see, rather than the quantity.
Rather than, well,
no?
You should, these are just as you keep your general level, but all the fact that you have seen, you should increase your ratio between the polyunsaturated. But there is quite a development of milk industry in parts of India. The complex here, Anand, I think, is a very good example of this. Isn't it? The cooperative dairy complex.
Practically also you see, formerly, big centric person, they used to live in the forest, and their livelihood was fruits and meat. They used to kill cows and draw milk from that. And whatever fruits are available in the forest, and they are giving us these literatures, barely. So, he has written Mahabharata, 100,000 verses. And similarly, this Srimad Bhagavatam, he has given us 18,000 verses. And each verse is full of so great meaning that if you study, it will take months and months to learn. So, they develop such nice brain simply by drinking milk and food.
Could we return to your opening remarks, sir, concerning the impact of science? I think it's fair to comment that Dr. Munsey has taken the lead in CSIRO in attempting to bring out the social theme of science, if it has one. He might like to enlarge on that somewhat.
Well, I'm not sure that I could call it the social theme of science. I'm concerned with building research. We came to realise 3 or 4 years ago that whilst we had got a long way in understanding the material things that go to make up houses and cities, we were a long way from knowing what people wanted. Thing that gets called quality of life. We have been beginning to look at this subject. It's commencing in the first place in northwestern Australia where there are a lot of mining activity, and there people go for a short time, they go to fairly small settlements, and we were interested in how important the housing was in the town. We've got a long way to go. This looks to be a very interesting area. Unless you want to ask about that, I think I'd be interested in what further things Australia should be helping Asia with. We've spoken about milk things already, and I hope before we finish you can tell us what things we should be learning of Asia that we've haven't learned in the past,
then. Martin, you would like to know what you think that Australia should help Asia with as far as making people more comfortable to live in this world, and what Australia can imbibe from Asia as far as teaching in science and as well as general living.
So far as studied, not only Australia, but also America and Africa. There are immense land uncultivated. So, I think all these countries, the population increased in India, China, and similar other places. We should allow to come here and produce food there. If you cannot manage the overpopulated country, they should come. If the government allows, they would immediately come. And if land, vast land for producing food there. And in the Bhagavad Gita, we have the statement, and now, Anna Bhavanti Bhutani, Anna Bhavanti Bhutani,
Anna Bhavanti Bhutani, Parjanyarana Sambhavaha, Yadna Bhavati Parjanyo, Yadna Kanata Bhutavaha.
Translation. All living bodies subsist on food grains, which are produced from rains. Rains are produced
but the performance of yajna, sacrifice, and yajna is born of prescribed duties.
This is the cycle that we should produce immense food there, both for the animals and for men. And there should be cooperation. Just like the cow and bull. The bull helps plowing. There is the original system, now they have invented tractors. How do you say? Tractor?
Cultivators.
And the bulls have been killed. Why they should be killed? And then there, in tilling the field, they will have occupation. And the man also will have occupation. And there is immense land. So there will be no postella, unemployed. And the machine, it works under some man's labor. And under some men become unemployed. So, unemployed means they being
slaughtered. I think that's a situation which would apply to the Asian area. Whilst I don't know it in complete detail, it's my impression that we have used very nearly all of the Australian areas that are suitable for tilling the soil and growing food grains. There are vast areas of Australia that have very little rain, or if they have rain, it comes intermittently. And it's my impression that the Australian area couldn't, in area that's used for growing grains in Australia, couldn't be vastly increased. It couldn't be doubled, for instance. On the other hand, I accept that it might well be possible to double the amount that comes off the present area. And, of course, that's something that the CSIRO is working toward.
I think you can answer that, Roy, that an attempt to grow grain in large areas of Australia would significantly damage the ecology. And from reading your writings, I suspect that this would be completely unacceptable to your way of thinking, that one doesn't disturb the natural life cycles of innumerable creatures in order to grow more grain, because the terrain is just not suited to the
grain. Land is not suitable.
Well, in Australia, there's vast areas which cannot be cultivated, like the deserts and semi-deserts. And the gentleman's contention is that if we try to grow grain in a semi-desert area, it would throw off the balance of the natural the natural pulse of the earth, let us say. And it would cause havoc in other fields. One of the basic things that our spiritual master is putting forward is that if we put an emphasis on producing good grains and milk and vegetables to live on, concentrating on those points, instead of complicating our lives with great industries for our cosmetics and film industries and things that are really not essential to life. See, there's people that don't have the essentials, and other people who have all the trappings of, you know, the modern technological science. My spiritual master's contention is that real happiness lies in simple living and high thinking. And this is the education that we're trying to put forward, I think.
Quiet. These are all misconceptions. Because I am like this body, I am spirit soul. When the spirit soul goes away, then where is the distinction? Suppose in hospital, some Hindu dies or some Muslim dies, some Christian dies, the spirit just trapped away as useless matter. Is it not?
Mm-hmm.
There's no distinction there now. Hindu, Muslim, Christian, white, black. Now it is dead body, put it aside. Huh? So, but while living, while the spirit soul is there, they are divine. With busyness. So this knowledge that a soul of the spirit soul is there in the body, it is important. As soon as the soul is gone, it is useless. But people are giving more stress on the body than on the active principle living force. What is that? There is no study. Suppose you are all scientists. What is your study about that living force that is moving the body?
I would agree with you that the body, when a person dies, is material and dead in the terms we use, and the spirit moves on. But and I accept from that that at that stage one has nothing to do, one has no worry about the body. But in the state that we are now, where our body and our soul are together, it seems to me that this is one unity, and you can't use the argument that at that stage you should neglect the body.
No, you don't say neglect the body. But the important factor is like the Swarupananda has said, that behind this material combination, there is an active principle which is soul. That is important. But in the modern age, we are giving more stress on the unimportant thing, and they have no knowledge of the important. This is different.
I'm a little uncertain from reading some of your comments about the primary aim that you would set for science. I would place a great deal of emphasis on the contribution that science can make
to the community. Yeah.
With respect to, I notice you wear a watch. This must be obviously a product of science, and this is what it's about. But you are stressing time and again in your writings the need to concentrate on the laws that you set out in order to achieve some standing in the future, in the life hereafter.
Yeah.
Isn't this at the risk of neglecting the people who are sharing this life with us here and now?
No, it is not the question of neglecting. Just like formerly there was no watch, but still they used to keep time by the movement of the sun on a dial, just making some marks on the stone. Do you know this?
Yes.
So their work was going on. Their work was not suffering for want of this watch.
I agree.
Yes. So, but how you have got good brain, instead of utilizing the brain to know what is the active principle of this whole universe, if we utilize that brain for manufacturing a watch, that is not a very good purpose. You manufacture what? But at the same time, you try to study the active principle. You do what maker. I am seeing the watch with the eyes, but as soon as the active principle is gone, no more seeing. Where is that science? A watchmaker is making screwdriving and doing so many things. All of it happening in fast pace. No more. What is that that took me? Where is that trance? That is my book.
It wasn't the manufacturing aspect, it was the creative aspect that I was concerned with. But there is a creative faculty in man,
yes,
that can be used to benefit the rest of mankind. Isn't there a tendency?
Creative faculty, that's what we first of all mean today. The creative faculty that watchmaker is doing very smart. But who has made that watchmaker? Who is that creative faculty? You are a scientist, you have good brain, but you cannot manufacture the brain, but who has manufactured your brain?
But isn't it the use to which the brain is put with the disease, I think, but there is that...
If you are a scientist, you create a similar brain like you. That you cannot do. But somebody has created your brain. And who is that person? Professor Einstein, big scientist. But he could not create another Professor Einstein so that after his death, the work would continue. Because the brain creator, the brain of scientist created by somebody, that is not in your hand. You cannot create another similar brain. That is not possible. But if you are surprised with the mechanical arrangement of the small parts, why you should not study the mechanical arrangement of a great scientist? But this is, this muscle has the mechanical arrangement of the watch is made by some brain. Similarly, your brain or Professor Einstein's brain, that is also made by another scientist. And who is that scientist? We are glorifying the brain of the scientist, but we are not glorifying the scientist who has made the brain of the scientist.
If we weren't being recorded, I would make a comment, but we are. Sir, can we move from the metaphysical to the material for a brief moment? We were not certain from reading your book whether it would be accessible, but Dr. Harris has there a special sample of cheese which we wondered if you might present.
This is cheese that has been made in the CSIRO from cow's milk, and I hope that perhaps you might enjoy it.
Oh, thank you. So you can give some cheese to person. Is that the whole thing? Your God? That sweet God?
Well, I could have found this one. I did it.
You go and find out.
This is a variety of cheese that we call a Gouda cheese, which comes originally from Holland.
Oh.
But it is very much like in Asian countries, and Australia has quite a large export market to many of the Asian countries, and more particularly to Japan, but it seems to appeal very much to the taste of cheese-loving people in these countries, and this is a product which is becoming more and more popular in these countries.
From meat you can prepare hundreds and thousands of people.
Oh, yes. Even in cheeses there are probably hundreds of varieties.
Yes. We make.
Yes.
That's in me. At least 10, 20 kinds of sweet peppers we make from the cheese. Therefore, our, as recommended in the Bhagavad Gita, Rishi Gaurakshama and Jump. Rishi Gaurakshama. People, a class of men should be trained. Or agriculture, producing food grain and cow protection. Cow protection means you get the milk sufficient quantity, and from milk you get so many nutrients full of vitamin food.
It's a complete food, isn't it?
Those who are meat eaters, they can eat other non-important animals. But cows must be saved, even from economic point of view. Here it is said that Gorosa does not say Krishna, elephant Rosa. Elephant is a big animal. And at least 50 times more than cow, there is flesh. But it is not recommended. But the cow protection is recommended. Because it has got the miracle food, milk. And from milk you can prepare hundreds of pieces. All milk is full of vitamin A and D.
Yeah.
So therefore it is recommended, Gorosha. It is not that meat eating is stopped. Meat eaters may kill other non-important animals, but don't kill animals, your cow. And besides that, from moral point of view, we are drinking milk from the cow. So, she is mother. According to Vedic understanding, there are seven kinds of mother. Adho Mata, real mother. Adho Mata, Guru Patne, the wife of Guru, spiritual master. Adho Mata, Guru Patne, Brahman, the wife of a Brahman. Brahmana means the most intelligent class of men in this society. Who are Brahma, that is also mentioned there in the Shastra. So he is like Adho Mata Guru Patni. In general, the understanding is any except your wife, all women is your mother. That is the instruction of Chanakya Pandit. Matrivat Paradarishu, all women should be treated as mother. Paradasa, Paradam is other's wife. So every woman who has married, it is compulsory. This is the Vedic system. So every woman must be married. It is the duty of the father to see the daughter is married. Must be married. It is called Kondada. He cannot evade this responsibility. He must. The father's duty, as soon as the girl is grown up, immediately some boy must be found out and hand her over. My dear boy, I'll give you this girl in charity. He takes care and give her protection. This is marriage. And he agrees, yes, I take charge of this girl. In our society, we get married. Your government has approved our society that we can. So,
Australian government in the various events has recognized the Hare Krishna movement as a glorified religion, eligible to perform legal marriage.
And the other day, Reverend Powell came. He also has given his announcement in the paper. What is that?
Don't be alarmed at the Hare Krishna.
Yeah.
Very good, Paul.
Yes, we were alarmed, wouldn't
we? But we too. Actually, we are placed to give some things, some stamp onto the human society. This is our mission. We are not that group that showing some magic and take some peace. It is not our business. We have got so many literatures full of treasure house of knowledge. We have to distribute them. not blocking, showing many these miracles. No, it is an institution for giving knowledge to the human society. The first beginning of knowledge is that at the present moment, people, although very much proud of their advancement of knowledge, he does not know what is the actual principle of life.
Could we have one more subject, sir, before we close? Would you have some?
I would like to ask about the writings and where it came from and so on, but you go first. You should read the book.
I have a very good friend, a Brahmin friend in the Indian Atomic Energy Commission. How do you view the development of the potential for nuclear explosions in India?
Yes, from the revealed picture, we can understand from the very first part of Bhagavatam.
Yes, yes.
The also power, the release, the Brahmastra. Similarly, nuclear weapon was there. It was called Brahmastra. So when this Brahmastra was released by one Asatama, the same symptoms of nuclear weapon, Krishna Krishna Mahabhava, there is. Why you are writing? You say you have got enough books. I have inquired from him in the morning. He said, yes, you have got enough.
We have them. We do not have them here.
That is another weird people coming, gentlemen.
The question, what's your problem? Is that he wanted to know what you are thinking about India.
I'm not thinking of India. I'm thinking for the whole human society. And why should I think for India? Vasudhaiva kutumbakam. When we become God conscious, then we don't think in that way, I'm Indian, I'm Englishman, I'm Australian, I'm Indian. Don't think. This is the crippled thinking of the materialist people. Pranita samadarsana, why don't we work? Vidyadhana sampanne brahmane gavihasthane sunyuchita sapati. Pranita samadarsana.
Vidyadhana sampanne brahmane gavihasthane sunyuchita sapati. Pranita samadarsana. The humble sage, by virtue of true knowledge, sees with equal vision a learned and gentle brahmana, a cow, an elephant, a dog, and a dog eater.
Because our vision is from the standard of the soul. The soul is there in everything, as well as in the larger scientist. So, Pandita Samadarsana means a learned, advanced spiritualist. He sees that everyone is soul. The body, material body, is dress. That's why you are talking is Dr. such and such. Not with the dress. We are not interested with the dress, but we are interested with you, person. Similarly, the bodies are dresses, different dresses, according to the price he has paid, according to his work, nature, different. So to take your mind, I mean, you need your mind, sir. Karanam guna sangasya. I love this, man.
But to take your mind, guna hangi kamana sarvasaha, mangara vibhoth atma, karitaha miti bhajite. The bewildered spirit soul, under the influence of the three modes of material nature, thinks himself to be the doer of activities which are in actuality
carried out by nature.
Nature is being a different God. I am the spiritual because I have accepted natural material nature's protection. I am getting different types of body. This life I got, this body, next life I may get another body. That is a strength. Tathādhi, hantara prāthi. We have to accept another body. Now you are scientists, and then next life you may be different. You may have a different body. So where is that science? There, here is the information. But where is the science cultivated in the university? There is no science. That is the fact.
Oh, that's not the part. Do you want to sneak in? No, no, no.
I think you mentioned it.
These are preparations which is prepared from Australian milk.
Okay, that's okay.
Oh, it is. Thank you. Even that can be a little sweet. It's a sweet preparation called gulab jamun. It's all okay. It's just from milk, which has been made into curd,
yes.
And then the curd has been fried in ghee, in cooking ghee, and then after it has been fried, it has been soaked in sweet water. And it's very, it's called a gulab jamun. It is very famous delicacy of Indian cooking. It requires great skill and art. And like I heard you last said, there are actually hundreds and hundreds of foods which can be prepared from this, like the cheese you have.
Yes.
Even cooking cheese and spicing it with aspartame tea and ginger, meat taste can be simulated.
Yes.
Very, very nice.
Yes.
This cheese, as you said, it is as beneficial as meat.
Protein, yes.
Yes.
So why the animals should be killed? That's new.
Why is sweet water? You mean it's sugar?
Sugar, yeah.
Sugar.
Does this maintain or is it? That's written
as a part of something. Ancient science. Thank you.
I am teaching them eat nicely, live nicely, and be prepared for your next life, for going back home that way. You can take it. This is very nice.
You mean you eat it now?
Yes.
I would say to take it now and eat it with my
life. No, you take it, eat it.
That's a shame. Yeah.
If it's from me, you can give you another.
Great.
So the life is a little more.
Very sweet. What is very juicy there?
Yeah.
And if you send us trees like this, we can send you.
But I must say something.
I'd probably be religious if I said that the reception run.
Are you doing more?
No, thank you.
One thing that we would like, as you mentioned, as our spiritual master said, there's a definite, according to the Vedic scripture, there's a definite link between consumption of milk and development of fine brain tissues. And if your department of knowledge has some research in that area, we think it would be a great service to mankind if they could be informed how they can develop fine brain tissues. Fine brain tissues which are needed in coping with the problems of this day and age. Not that simply, if I disagree with you, we'll just fight. It has to be fine brain tissues in order to say, well, let's sit down and talk about this together. And we say that, according to the scripture, there is a definite link between the consumption of milk products, not milk, but cheese and all types of milk products,
the consumption of milk products and development of the necessary intellect. This is why, as the spiritual master said, the highly intelligent people of India have lived predominantly not just drinking milk, but everything they ate was cooked in milk products. You know, the vegetables, rice, everything, even if rice was boiled, milk was put on, ghee was put on the bread. So that is an unavoidable essential in their diet. Not simply from the palatable standpoint, but actually from the relationship between the physical and the metaphysical, you know, progress.
And thousands of tons of ghee, clarified butter, was offered in the jungle. The smoke created a kind of cloud, which is very good for cultivation.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Thank you.